Ray, you can go ahead and be seated. And I want to thank you for being here today. I'm excited, and I want to keep the program moving so we can devote most of the time to preaching. But I'm excited to introduce my good friend, Dr. Brian Sharp. And we've been friends for many, many years. And, of course, he's been preaching 41 years and has started a number of churches as an evangelist, been holding revivals, excellent evangelist. And God's given him an amazing ministry to Israel, and used him in a marvelous way. They've done some great things. I'm sure you'll learn some things about that ministry as he preaches and teaches and so on. But always an excellent preacher, good student of the Word of God. I'm excited for him to be here. Has a good Bible mind, and so I'm excited for him to be here to speak to us. And who's doing the special?
Brother Kennedy, did anybody say anything to you about singing? Okay, that's what I was afraid of that. Would you do that for us? I love to hear Kenny Graham sing. Amen. You need a piano player. Where is Naomi Kelly? Okay, oh, there's Kelly. All right, let's do that just for a second. That'll be a blessing. And I'm sorry, Brother Graham, but I love to hear this man sing. In fact, it makes me jealous because he's a great preacher and he can sing on top of it. So come on, brother. He's preaching the closing service in just a little bit. Drove in from Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Charleston, Missouri last night. Got here late just to be here. Good to see you.
Thank you. Love you, brother.
Love you too, my friend.
Of course, you have to spell to be able to find the words, but anyway, we'll get there. All right, thank you. I think I know it, but just in case, all right. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea. So burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, "Make me your choice," and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come say, my beloved, he is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I am safe evermore.
Thank you, Brother Graham. Good to see you this morning. Please take your Bible, if you would. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. That was a great message we heard earlier today. That's the best message I've ever heard Don Rickles and James Cagney preach. Brother Gipp, good job. Thank you. Take that to heart. Three boys were bragging. Each claimed to have the fastest dad in the world. The first boy said, my dad is so fat. He works for Winchester. He's so fast, he can pull the trigger on the gun and be at the target before the bullet gets there. Second boy said, my dad's faster than that. He works for the electric company. My father can flip the light switch up and be completely dressed before the light comes on. Third boy said, my dad's got both ears beat. He works for the government. He gets off at 4:30, but he's home by 3:15. Speaking of governments, we're in the political season. Somebody asked you, are you going to tell a political joke, Brother Sharp? Nah, it just seems like they keep getting elected. Brother Coral, Brother Angel, thank you. It's an honor to stand here as an evangelist behind the pulpit that God has entreated and entrusted to a pastor. I want to thank my pastor, Pastor Ed Bragg, and his wife Debbie, have driven 5 hours one way to hear evangelists from their local church preach. Love you, Brother Bragg. I was looking for you. I knew you'd be here, and good to get up here and see that you are out here. And I'm thankful for this church, this local church here, for your support of me and the ministry, especially the Gentile ministry. We have placed to date over 16,000 copies of God's Word into the hands of Jewish people, most of that Israelis living in Israel. These are not handed out like candy. These are handed out one at a time with a conversation before and after. Because when you read Matthew 24:15, you'll find out what sparks that the greatest revival of all time was going to take place during the tribulation. I'm not going to be here when it happens, but I want in on it. I know if you're going to have a harvest, and I know the Lord of the harvest is coming, I'd like to work in this field. Maybe turn over some virgin ground. Maybe plant some seed. Amen? Because it states the reason they figure out the Antichrist is not the Messiah. Matthew 24:15, parentheses, whoso readeth, let him understand. The Antichrist will not measure up to the Word of God. Of course, I know somebody who did. He's also called the Word of God. Amen. So I want to thank you. We've started a couple of churches in Israel. We are working on getting a third one started, working with the Israelis that are over there, some who have surrendered under my ministry. We have the only van route that I'm aware of in Israel, picking up Jews 4 times a week and taking them to the local churches. We're in over 30 kibbutzim, small villages along the Gaza border, and moshavs. We have a ministry with the Jerusalem Police Department, with the Lotan anti-terrorist unit protecting the Jordan border. We're in every kibbutz all the way down from Sedrot, the northern Gaza, all the way down to Eilat. I'll be there in June. One of our most dangerous trips yet. We appreciate that you would pray for us. If you are interested in getting some ahead-of-the-news indicators of what's about to happen in Israel, see my book table, sign up. I just need your email. We'll send those to you. You may not reproduce or forward that email. That's the condition. If you give me your email, what I send you is only for you. It is not for public media. of any kind, but we'll try to keep you abreast of what's going on. This morning I want to preach to you on my favorite subject. It is not prayer, though I think we ought to be effectual and fervent in it. It is not soul winning, though I think we're commanded to go out in the highways and hedges. It is not tithing, though I don't think any Christian ought to rob God. It's not baptism, though you should, to identify with those who believe in Christ. It is not eternal security, though we have that assurance. It's not justification, though we've been made innocent. It's not adoption, but I'm glad I can cry, Abba, Father. Amen. It's not missions, though we should begin at Jerusalem. It is not imputation, but I receive somebody else's righteousness. Amen. It's not the local church, though I'm an evangelist of one, and a member of one. I've been a member of Pastor Bragg's church for 30 years. That's almost unheard of for an evangelist to be at one church. I'm not a church hopper. And one pastor. How do you guys get along? Real simple. I tithe every week. I give to missions over and above my tithe. And I try not to give my preacher any grief. If you will do those three things, you will get along with your pastor. I promise you. I'm not going to preach on the local church. None of those are my favorite subjects. I'm going to preach on my favorite subject this morning. Jesus. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, circle that little word it, right? Genesis 3:15. Plan of salvation has always been the same. Started in the Garden of Eden before an innocent animal was killed. It was the seed of woman. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. The it was a plan. It was potential. It was a pardon. It was propitiation. It was a person. There's no such thing as dispensational salvation. For you to tell me there was a different way for people to be saved as time progressed is blasphemy in my ears. Do not take away from the deity of the Son of God who was slain before the foundation of the world and hope of eternal life which God promised before the world began, and that life is in Him. There's never been a different plan. There's not a different plan now, and there's not going to be a different plan in the future. It was Him. When they had heard it, verse 18, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now look at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The angel of the Lord. Father, bless the message we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Angel, possessor of might, ambassador, created spirits in the general sense. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. All the hosts were created, finished in the first 6 days. There's no such thing as a gap theory. Does not exist. Would have Adam and Eve walking across the fossilized graveyard. It wasn't Satan's sin that brought death into the world. Wherefore, it's by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Their purpose was to deliver God's message, as they did to many of the writers of the Bible. You'll see that in Revelation 10:1 to John. A woman was walking down the street. She heard a voice say, "Don't take that next step." She stopped, and a brick fell off the building and crashed in front of her. Wow. The next day, she was about to cross the street. And she heard that voice again say, "Don't take that step." She paused, backed up once, and a car jumped the curb and kept racing down the highway. Had she taken it, she'd have been dead. She asked that voice, "Who are you?" The voice replied, "I'm your guardian angel." "Oh, yeah," she said. "Where were you when I got married?" They deliver God's message. They deliver God's ministry. Hebrews 1:7, Hebrews 1:13 and 14. They're ministering spirits. They can appear as strangers. You ever seen an angel, Brother Sharp? I don't know. The Bible says unaware. Wouldn't know it if I did. You wouldn't either. I can tell you I've met people that I know for sure were not. They deliver God's ministers, Psalms 34, verse 6 and 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and He delivereth them. Psalm 91, 11, He'll give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. I claim that verse every time I drive Interstate 80 between Chicago and the Indiana border. That has to be the unofficial Illinois State Racetrack and Demolition Derby area. Only Mickey Carter enjoys that road. He's not a preacher. He's a race car driver when he gets on that. There are many good angels in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel. They fight for us. Cause people to understand, writers like Daniel and John. The Word of God announced the birth of Christ. But I want to talk about the angel of the Lord mentioned in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, Jesus. For so was the name of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Number one, this angel appeared to Abraham. This angel appeared to Abraham through Hagar in Genesis chapter number 16, reminding that Ishmael was not the promised seed, that he would be a wild man whose hand would be against every man, and he would dwell with like-minded brethren, wild. Hand against every man. Genesis 16, verse 11 and 12 through 12. The individual can be saved from the clan, but the clan cannot produce individual salvation, neither can the clan produce collective salvation. The second time that he appeared unto Abraham was through Sarah in Genesis 18, and I want you to turn there. This angel of the Lord, his name was Jesus. For so was the name of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, we read the following. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, how many men? Three men. Now who was appearing to him in verse 1? The Lord. But how did the Lord appear? As how many? Three. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and he said, My three lords. What did he say? My Lord. How many of you see one Lord? How many of you see an appearance of three and then see one again? And he saith, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Skip down to verse number 9. And they, these three, said unto him, do you remember when God said, let us make man in our... Okay. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he, there's three speaking as one now, said, I certainly will return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. You know, there's so many reasons not to change the King James Bible. Once you change it, people like me and Brother Gip and others can't come by and find the truth if it's been changed. They appeared as one, they. Verse 11. And Abram and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. Sarah laughed, verse 12. Verse 13, and the Lord, one, who appeared as three, said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he, that's that three as one, said, nay, but thou didst laugh. The third time he appeared to Abraham is with Isaac by his side. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, You know, Isaac, maybe 13 years older than Ishmael maybe 13 years older than Isaac, but God did not recognize him as the son, the seed, the promise. Take thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, we see here, I want you to skip down to verse 6. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. There's a difference here between Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was wild. Isaac was submissive. Ishmael was of the bond. Isaac of the free. And Isaac spake unto Abraham in verse 7, his father, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire, the wood. Where's the lamb? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. The ram, verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see. In the mount of the Lord, what's that word after Lord in verse 14? Right, Genesis 3:15. Still a plan, still a propitiation, still a promise, but Abraham knew who was going to be seen. That Lamb of God was going to be seen, and it was the angel of the Lord that appeared unto him. Now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 24. Abraham connects that angel right there to God's angel in Genesis 24, verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. Behold, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So Abraham's on to this angel of the Lord. He knows it's going to be seen. He knows it's God's voice that is speaking. He's passing this down now to Eleazar. He's passing it down because Eleazar was going to go get a wife for Isaac. And we're going to see the chronology of the angel of the Lord being Jesus Christ unfold throughout the ages. I like old time religion, but how far do you want to go back is the question. I don't want to go back to the 70s. I don't want to go back to the 40s. I want to go all the way back to in the beginning with God. Amen. I want to return to our roots. I want to return to our foundation. I want to return to and sweep the whole thing clean if necessary, as Brother Gipp alluded to, and build it upon the Word of God. Genesis 28, number 2, this angel appeared unto Jacob. Same angel. Genesis 28, verse number 12. First at Bethel. Genesis 28:12, and he, Jacob, dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Verse number 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So we see God appearing to Jacob at Bethel. When Jacob rehearses this, go to Genesis 31, and retells the story, he tells us who God appeared as, or the angel appeared as. Genesis 31, verse number 11. Scripture says, when Jacob rehearsing this account at Bethel, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked and speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Jacob rehearsed this and referred to this to God as the angel of the Lord. When Jacob rehearses this later on to his sons and his grandsons, go to Genesis 48. This is going to get very interesting, so stay with me while I lay the foundation. Genesis 48 and verse number 16. Rehearsing it to his sons and grandsons. The angel, I want you to notice the uppercase A. The angel, which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. The name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Oh, it was God's messenger that redeemed Jacob. It was God's ambassador. It was God's might. It was the angel of the Lord. It was Jesus before he was conceived in the womb, redeemed Jacob. There wasn't a different redeemer back then than there is now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number three, this angel appeared unto Moses. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We establish that the angel is God in verse number 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And look, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. Notice it was the angel in verse 2 and verse 3. It is God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, and he said, here am I. Verse number 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I only know one person's got the ability to make something holy. Verse 6, moreover he said, I am. I am what? The God. Of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I understand that. No man can look upon God and live. That's God the Father. But I know a lot of people who in the Bible who looked upon God the Son and lived. Amen? The angel of the Lord, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Oh, Jesus said, I am. I am the bread, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the vine. It was God, it was the angel of the Lord that appeared unto him. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 46, if you'd believe in Moses, you'd believe in me because he wrote of me. My challenge to you young preachers, can you take the first 5 books of the Bible and lead someone to Christ? My challenge to you is, can you prove Jesus Christ in the first 5 books of the Bible? As I told the group of preachers last night, I can show you the plan of salvation 6 different times before we end Genesis 5. Virgin birth, seed of woman, male child, son of God, death, bruised heel, resurrection. It's all there. Can you do that? Where does your doctrine originate from? I suggest if you cannot trace every philosophy that you adhere to and believe in to the first 4 words in the Bible, that you get rid of it. Or at least set it aside. If it doesn't start with, in the beginning God, it started someplace else. I'd pitch it. I'd get rid of it. This angel led the Hebrew children out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 14. The chronology of Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, such was his name before he was conceived in the womb. We see his omnipresence in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness. I like that Shekinah glory cloud, the presence of God cloud. I like it and him and a cloud all being together. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to thee, so that one came not near the other all night. The angel was omnipresent. He was everywhere. He was before. He was behind. He was omniscient. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. Hey, my God can see. Hey, if he makes darkness his pavilion, if he sees when nobody else sees, as message we heard earlier this week, my Heavenly Father knows the way through the wilderness, and so does my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was there leading them through the wilderness as the angel of the Lord. He was omniscient. The Lord Jesus Christ, omnipotent. Look at verse 26. The angel of the Lord, this omnipotent appearance of Christ. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots. Well, we know what happened. God drowned them all. Oh, the power of the angel of the Lord. Verse 23, verse number 29, verse number 31. We see it over and over and over again. It was him. It was the angel of the Lord. This angel, number 5, led Israel through the wilderness. Go to Exodus chapter 32. Same angel, Lord Jesus Christ. Appearance in the Old Testament. Exodus 32, he led them past Sinai, where the law was given. You know, Adam and Eve only had one, don't eat of that tree. They broke that, then the world got 10. Moses come down from the mountain, he saw the Hebrew children dancing. Moses broke 10 commandments because they were breaking one. I suggest you not break 10 commandments just because somebody under your authority breaks one. I know you can get angry, but don't break 10 just because somebody's breaking one. Then they got 613 Old Testament laws. And the Jews till today have 1,226 ways to get around 613 Old Testament laws. They are very brilliant people. But he will lead you past Sinai and past the law. Exodus 32 and verse number 34, the Bible says the following. Therefore now go lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. He's still leading them. Same angel. It's Jesus. Go to chapter 33, look at verse 2. And I will send an angel before thee. He let him pass Sinai. Why? Was the law bad? No, the law was good. The Bible tells us the law was good. It's a plumb line that proves we're not up to the straight and narrow. The law never could save anyone. It was never given to save anyone. It was given not to save the soul. It was given to show that we are sinners that need saving. Let the angel of the Lord lead you past the law and the conviction that it brings, and let that angel lead you into salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. He led them past the law. Let him lead you past the law. He led them past Jericho in Joshua chapter 5. Quickly. Same angel. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13. And Joshua is one of a fearless, courageous soldier. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. By the way, angels do appear like that. With his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Nose to nose, face to face, courage to courage. You for us or you against us? No other alternative. And he, the angel, said, nay, but as captain of the host, that's that same host in Genesis 2 and Luke 2, angels. He is the captain of the angels. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Angels don't receive worship. Unless this angel is somebody else. And that old courageous soldier Joshua is not going to bow before anybody unless he knows it's God. And he worshipped and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servants? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, oh, same thing that God said to Moses at the burning bush. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Hey, soldier, you got enough courage to humble yourself in front of an almighty deity? You want to get into his promised land? I suggest you go his way. Take off your shoes. He's got the ability to make the very ground you stand upon holy. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. He received worship. He let him pass their enemies. Go to Judges chapter 6. Same angel. What was his name? Jesus. Before he was conceived in the womb. Judges chapter 6. We find the story of Gideon. In verse number 11, the Bible says the following, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, how many of you see that the angel and God's voice are one and the same here? The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He was Gideon's miracle worker. Verse number 20, and the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh, the unleavened cakes. Verse 21, the angel of the Lord put forth the end. Verse 21, last part, the angel of the Lord departed. Verse 22, the angel of the Lord to Gideon, the angel of the Lord face to face. Verse 24, well, verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. God will send his peace. Gideon thought he was going to die too in verse 22. Again, he realized this is God. But I remind you, even as John thought he was going to die in the book of Revelation when he saw God the Son, it's only God the Father that no man can look upon and live. This was God the Son, the angel of the Lord. The one who brings peace amidst your enemies. The same sermon that Jesus spoke after his resurrection, peace be unto you. Receive him, receive peace. Walk with him, receive peace. Rule with him, receive peace. Try to destroy him with the fire, he'll refuse to burn. Try to destroy him with the water, he'll walk on it. Try to destroy him with the wind and the waves, and he'll say, peace. Be still. Gideon's worldly army dwindled to 300. What's the plan? Blow the trumpet. Break the clay pitcher. Let the light come out. Give a shout! One day that same angel, Jesus, will part the eastern sky. The trumpet shall sound. The clay pitcher that houses this illuminated soul is going to break and give way. The light that's on the inside is going up. With that trumpet sound, I'll shout while passing through the air. Farewell! Sweet hour of prayer. Farewell, O world. Farewell, opposition. Farewell, emerging church. Farewell, replacement theologist. Farewell, those of you that are going to try to get up here 7 years from now in a post-tribulation rapture. How are you going to meet yourself going and coming? I'm coming back at the end of that 7 years. Suggest you wave. I'll be one of those on the white horses. And what you're going to do up there for 1,000 years? Jesus isn't going to be up there. He's going to be down here. I'll probably leave a mess behind so you can clean it up. Number six, this angel led Israel around the false preaching. Numbers chapter 22. In Numbers 22, we find the story of Balaam. Who was Balaam? Best preacher money could buy. A little pipsqueak out in Arizona is financed by a Muslim. Contact the Jew, Dr. James Ock. Oh, I have tried to reason with this young man for 5 years, showing him the error of his ways. He has reached what the Bible describes in Romans 1 as being implacable, the inability to enter into a reasonable agreement with. I've been contacted by his pastor. I've been contacted by the Israeli embassy. Google Independent Fundamental Baptist. Well, don't do it, but if you do it, his name will come up first. That takes a lot of money. That's Muslim money. Oh, he gathers a crowd of 40 and puts on a shirt that says Free Palestine and goes to Dearborn, Michigan, trashing the Jews and what he says in an attempt to win the Muslim. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. There's no middle ground there. The Israeli embassy says, well, he's an independent Baptist like you. He's a rogue. He's a liar. He went out from us. He's not us. Okay, said they, then where are all the other independent Baptists publishing counter articles? Whoa. Where are you? I'm talking to you right now. Where are you? Oh, I covered for us. I made apology to the rabbis that were deceived into making that film for us by stating that we don't usually use public media. We do it from the pulpits of our churches. But Brother Gipp, I'm beginning to wonder. Are we? Are we refuting that stuff? This angel led Israel around the false preaching. In Numbers 22, you're going to see the angel of the Lord more times than any other chapter of the Bible. Verse 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 31, 32, 34, 35. Why did he appear? Because Balaam, who was the best preacher that money could buy, was about to preach a replacement theology sermon. Ten times a dumbass saw the importance of being pro-Israel in one speech. Ten times a dumbass knew better than did a selfish, wise, in his own conceits preacher. Ten times a dumbass knew it was better to turn around and support Israel. Brother Sharp, how long are you going to keep preaching pro-Israel messages? Until the conceited Balaams of this world realized that, number one, there was a church in the wilderness. Number two, there was a church of the firstborn. Number three, there was a church in existence before his death, burial, and resurrection because he spoke of it. Number four, there was a church that we continue to build upon, that foundation being established by Jewish apostles and Jewish prophets. Number five, a church that is now grafted into a Jewish church that was already existent. They're not grafted into you. You're grafted into them. They weren't all broken off. Some of them were broken off that you might be grafted into them. A church that contains the spotted and speckled from Israel and the ring-straked. A church that is an extension of the great speckled bird of Israel. A church that has no middle wall of partition that divides Old Testament from New. Our Old Testament church from New. He didn't come to divide it. He united it. He broke the partition down. How long are you going to keep preaching that? Church that has no, till we figured out that a church has no middle wall of partition, and a church today is still connected to the same cornerstone that the church of yesterday was connected to. It's not separate, it's joined. Two walls are connected. Two more will hook up. The next one will be the 144,000 during the trib, because Jews always go first, followed by a great multitude of Gentiles. That's the fourth wall. I'm going to go deep here for you. That's a city, four square. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's one bride, one church, one God, all eternity. You're not separate from them. You're hooked to them. It's your family. You're adopted into them. You better listen to this dumb Missouri mule. You better repent in your doctrine. You better turn around from replacement theology before the angel of the Lord strikes you dead. Number eight. This angel delivers God's chosen. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Speaking of Christ. Just showing you. Oh, and this is just a few times. I'm giving you some highlights. For so was his name before he was conceived in the womb. Daniel 3, verse 23. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. And when you look at verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Three? Yes. Verse 25, but I see four. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Skip down to verse 28. Who did Nebuchadnezzar call this Son of God? Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. How many of you see they're one and the same? Oh, he delivered the disciples, Peter and Philip. Go to Acts chapter 27. Paul knew who this was. Do you? In Acts chapter 27, Paul knew the angel of the Lord. He knew it was Jesus. Acts 27, verse 22. The Bible says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and in whom I serve. Fear not, Paul. Be of good cheer. Number nine. This angel, Jesus, is involved in the regathering and the salvation of Israel. Go to Mark chapter 13. I'm just talking about my favorite subject. He's in the first verse in the Bible. He's in the last verse in the Bible. He's in every book of the Bible. Mark chapter 13, verse number 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be dark, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall. The powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels, shall gather together His elect from the four winds. Anytime you see a Jew who doesn't shave the four corners of his head, four strings let out from his shirt, don't glean the four corners of your field. Peter's sheet let down by the four. It's the same thing. It's north, south, east, and west. As he scattered them to the four corners, he regathers them. It's happening right now. The most important prophecy since his virgin birth happened May 14, 1948, and some of your people don't even know it. He could not have come the first time unless the Jews possessed the land. It was already prophesied where he would be born. He cannot come the second time unless the Jews possess their land, because his second coming, just a small fraction, is referring to the rapture. The majority of the scriptures are referring to him coming to save Israel and win Armageddon. Do your people know that? This was the number one opposition to the King James Bible. Because Rome and the hierarchy of England and the Ottoman Empire knew that if the populace would read this book, they would find out that the Jews owned that land and would return, and it meant another king could come. It was the number one opposition. Do your people know that? Speaking about my favorite subject here, Jesus. He's going to send His angels to regather them. Verse 27 states that. Now, I want you to keep, well, just go to Zechariah toward the end of the Old Testament. And I encourage you to read the minor prophets. They are screaming today. It's as if you're reading today's newspaper. Zechariah chapter number 12. And in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the angel of the Lord before them. That's in Zechariah 12, verse number 8. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass, in that day I'll seek to destroy all the nations. Verse 10. What's going to happen when this angel comes, Jesus comes? I'll pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son. They'll look upon him, and all Israel shall call upon the name of the Lord, as saith the prophet Joel 2:32. And as Paul concluded in Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved, but not before some of us Gentiles leave the Gentile crowd that's trotting upon Israel and take the gospel full circle back to those who first gave it to us. Number 10, and I finish. This same angel is going to get us all into glory. In Revelation chapter 10, verse number 1, speaking of the angel of the Lord, they called his name Jesus, for such was the name of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I've tried to show you just a chronology of him in the Old Testament. I want to show you here in Revelation 10, verse 1, this mighty angel, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Oh, the presence of God that started way back in the Old Testament. Look in that cloud, you'll see him. A rainbow, that's round about his throne in Revelation 4. He's in the middle of that, too. And his face was as it were the sun. Oh, read a little bit later and you'll find that it's his face that illuminates the place. And his feet as pillars of fire. Go back to Revelation 1 and you'll see it's Jesus Christ who has feet like brass. And he had in his hand a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left upon the earth. Oh, I know he'll rent that Mount of Olives in twain. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. Oh, I know he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Whew, like Niagara Falls. Look at Revelation chapter 10. You're there, so skip down to verse number 5. You want to see him? He's everywhere. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, my friend, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write Hebrews 6:13 down there, because no man can swear by God. Nobody is given that permission. Only God can swear by himself. God the Son swearing by God the Father, the angel of the Lord. It's Jesus. He reaps the saved in Revelation 14, verse 15. Another angel came out of the temple with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap. The earth is ripe. It is dried. It is ready. His salvation sickle. Go to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse number 30 and 31. Then shall appear the sign, the Son of Man in heaven, coming in the clouds. Verse 31, he shall send his angels. He directs a good host. Just write the verse down. It's Luke 16, chapter 16, verse 19 through 22. It was the angels that Jesus Christ, the angel, the captain, directs the angel to carry Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Oh, he's coming for us. And if we die before he comes for us, he's going to send some angels. It was 1998. I rarely tell this story. I had had some severe colon surgery. Someone tried to poison me. My intestines were coming out. Most excruciating, painful surgery I've ever had. 8 days later, an artery ruptured inside of me while I was recovering. I'd just been released from the hospital and was at home. I don't know how much blood you got, but nearly 2 gallons gushed out of me. I don't think you got much more than that. Brother Cora will have another gallon in 40 days after he finishes this fast. I made it to the bed and collapsed. My wife got on the phone and she called my pastor. My wife did not know what to do because I told her I just wanted to die at home. And my time was up. My pastor's wife, Mrs. Bragg, answered the phone. Mrs. Bragg told my wife, "You hang up and you call the ambulance now. I don't care what he's saying, you call the ambulance now." Thank God for a pastor's wife. My wife called the ambulance. They just so happened to be on an exercise training, and were at the end of my driveway. The lead paramedic, she came in. She put 2 IVs in, one in each arm. Trying to get a pulse, trying to get a blood pressure. She's screaming in a walkie-talkie to the doctor at the hospital, "I cannot get a reading. But I think he's still alive. His eyes are watching me." They put me in an ambulance. What I'm about to tell you is as real as this pulpit is real. I knew where we were going for the trees that were hanging over the road. We went to St. Luke's West Hospital. The ambulance pulled up. They got me out of the back on a gurney. My wife, nurse came up, clipboard, sign here, sign your life away. They wheeled me into trauma room number 4, but my pastor was already there waiting. Oh, thank God for a local church pastor. I saw trauma room number 4 on the headboard as I wheeled in. My wife came right in behind me. The ambulance workers walked out. The doctor was about to walk in. My wife was looking at me. A look of horror came on her face. She turned and shouted to the doctor, "He's dying!" My last memory was my pastor dropping to his knees in the hallway and praying, "God, don't take him yet." Now, Brother Sharp, I wish you were dead. Blame my preacher. It was time to go. They were there. Who? I don't know. I couldn't see him. There was one on each side. We'll call them angels. But I can't tell you I saw them. I remember arguing with them, "I cannot go. Who's going to take care of my wife and my crippled boy? No. I'm not going." I argued, Brother Coral. Every muscle I had was fighting them, but I was of no power. I couldn't budge, and them taught. The next memory my mind saw, and I was given the overwhelming assurance that my wife would be taken care of and my handicapped son. I experienced the peace that passed all understanding. They will be taken care of. The next vision my mind saw was, I was about to go to heaven. I only had 30 yards from here to those double doors in the back. It was an atmosphere of white, not blinding, welcoming, soft white. Could you see? I remember peering and straining. I couldn't see faces. I saw hands. I saw white robes, maybe up to the middle of the forearm. Trying to extend through the white as if to hug my soul, all in a welcoming fashion. No one was doing this. May I say that at your family reunions here on this earth, not everybody is doing this. There are some that are doing this. In the independent Baptist churches, not everybody's doing this. All preachers in the same room, not all are doing this. Some are. I began to tug again like a mule in the harness. Let's go. I wanted to get across the line. I knew where the white was emanating from. I wanted to see him. Let's go. Man, I was tugging. I was pulling. Now, there's very few things that this man or me cannot move or budge. Am I telling the truth? We break things and we don't even know we've touched them. And like a mule in the harness, let's go. I don't have the vocabulary to explain. It was an anticipation of impartation. I just had to get over that line. No. Restraint. You're going back. I argued again. I don't want to go back. You have to. I woke up on the trauma room table. The doctor that was walking in the doorway was over me. I didn't see those steps. That's how long I was gone. My preacher says the very first words out of my mouth to the doctor were, "Are you an angel?" And the doctor replied, "I assure you I am not." And I spoke, "I just saw heaven." He said, "You're not in heaven, Mr. Sharp. You're not in heaven." He slapped me. "Stay with us. Don't go. Stay with us." Nurses began to come in, prepping me, cutting clothes off of me. I said, "I know I'm not in heaven. I'm in St. Luke's West Hospital, trauma room number 4. I'm telling you, Doc, I just saw it." He said, "You're not there. Stay with us. Don't leave us." He couldn't understand. And then he took a needle about the diameter of a 16-penny nail and shoved it into my groin to give me multiple units of blood. And I went, "Oh, you don't have to convince me I'm in hell." My pastor got up off of his knees, consoled my wife, and said, "He's going to be all right. He's got his sense of humor. The angel of God told me he's going to be okay." And I live to tell you the story. It's not up there because of an out-of-body experience. It's up there because this book says it is. It's not up there because people have visions. It's up there because He's going to send His angels for you. Or He's going to come Himself. "Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Won't you bear me away on your snow-white wings to my immortal home? Won't you bear me away on your snow-white wings to my immortal home?" Jesus. For such was the name of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you to raise your hand, but how many times have you read that in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, and thought, sounds like Jesus. Sounds like Jesus. Takes a lot of time, intense study, to give what He gave us this morning. Thank you, Brother Sharp. God bless you. I appreciate that. We need stuff like that. Absolutely.